In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high up upon a rock. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is found in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor they set out by way of to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our epistle reading is found in the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and has seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand in honor of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that holy gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us now confess our faith to one another and to the world in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is from our Gospel in John chapter 3. Let us pray. Lord our God, I pray that the words of my lips, the meditation of our hearts, would be pleasing, acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Now, there's a whole series of answers to the question, how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? Our gospel talks about light. Well, we'll start with our good Catholic brothers and sisters, the Roman Catholics. It says, none. They only use candles. The Anglicans. It takes two people to change a light bulb. One to call the electrician, one to talk about how much better the old one was. Pentecostals, it takes 10 of them to change a light bulb. One to change it, 9 to pray against the spirit of darkness. The Baptist, well, at least 15. One to change the light bulb and 3 committees to change, to approve the change. Now, Lutherans, how many light bulbs does it take to change a Lutheran light bulb? It takes none. Lutherans don't change. Although y'all did change your time. You're here this morning. So. Light is a wonderful creation of God, isn't it? It's a very important thing for our happiness, even for our survival. It's with light that we're able to see the world around us. Light is everywhere. It determines everything we see. Light is a conveyor of shape and color, the swiftest carrier of energy in our universe. Nothing can move faster than the speed of light. And since the invention of the laser beam, all the way back in the 60s, it's hard to believe it's been that long that it's been around, its ever-increasing application is used by doctors to zap our eyes and slice away cancers. Dentists use it as they cut out decay. Armed forces use it to accurately target weapons. It may well be that there is nothing more powerful than light as well. Light is a very practical thing too, isn't it? It makes plants green by that process of photosynthesis. It's light that causes the water to evaporate from the sea and helps it to move over the land and create rain clouds. We like light. It's a source of joy. Light beams from the sky. It brings smiles to a grouchy face. Light feels good on our bodies as we lay out in the sun, as long as we don't lay there too long, of course. On the other hand, when we get up in the middle of the night, the lack of light can cause us a bit of pain as we stumble around and stub our toes on furniture or whatnot. And yet there are times when there is too much light. It exposes the corners that had previously been hidden. You know what that is. It's kind of like the dark spots around our homes, behind the cupboard, underneath the refrigerator, under a bed, that only whenever you move them you see how filthy it is and all the dirt. When the light of day helps to show just how much dirt has accumulated. At first we're embarrassed by all this dust and dirt, and then we set about cleaning it up. I suppose if we didn't care about the dirt, we'd just ignore it and push the furniture back, pretend we didn't see it. And so there are also some dark lives or dark corners in our world. That dark world of sexual immorality, the dark world of poverty, environmental irresponsibility, the dark world of a lack of purpose and identity that seems to be among so many people today, not only young people, but people of all ages. There's, of course, a dark world of war where people are maimed and killed. It's easy to pretend that those dark corners don't exist, or just to kind of look the other way so that those dark spots don't become a problem. Well, in today's text, we hear the word that light has come into the world. But people loved the darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. There's an old story told about a nomad who awakened hungry in the middle of the night. He lit a candle and began eating dates from a bowl beside his bed. He took a bite from the first date and he saw a worm in it. So he threw it out of the tent. He picked up a second date, bit into it. It had a worm also and threw it away. Reasoning he wouldn't have any dates left to eat if he continued this way, he just blew out the candle and continued eating dates. In the same way, a room looks a lot neater, a lot darker, or a lot cleaner, rather, in the dark. In the darkness, you don't see the dust and the cobwebs. You don't see the newspaper scattered about. You don't see the food squashed into the carpet or the dirty marks on the wall. You can't see how grungy the curtains are or what condition the furniture is in. And that person who owns the room may be someone that you expected them to be quite neat and tidy, but you turn on the light and all that dirt is exposed, and immediately you're given a completely different picture of that person who lives there. Well, our text today tells us Jesus is the light. He came into a world not to condemn, but to bring life and light. It is only as those dark, private corners of our lives are exposed that we can be helped. It's in the light of God's Word that we have to face the reality that we have dark corners in our lives that need to be tidied up. We're suddenly shaken to that realization that we are sinners. Everything is not as neat and tidy as we thought. There's a mess that needs to be cleaned up. And even though we try to hide our mess in the darkest, the most private corner of our lives, that light of Jesus has shown us that there is dirt piled up that needs to be cleaned out. Our temptations, our secret sins, those faults that we would not care to admit to, the poor way we've treated people we love, selfish attitudes when it comes to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. This light, Jesus, has come into the world not to bring condemnation, but to bring salvation. Not to rub our noses in the dirty corners of our lives, but to sweep them out and to bring healing and reconciliation. And it's a gift that is ours, freely given. Come, see the light of the world. You are my daughter, he says. You are my son. You are forgiven. You are accepted. Come and enjoy life and light. Bask in the beauty and the warmth of the Son of God. God so loved the world, our text says. That means you, each one of us. God loved you so much that, as you've heard, he sent his only Son into this world so that we may believe and have eternal life. God's love for us may be free, and it is certainly freely given, but it did cost God a great deal. It cost him the life of his Son. It meant raising up that light of the world on that rough-hewn cross for the world. Jesus spoke about it in our gospel reading. We heard about it in our Old Testament reading. As Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, Jesus says, "Now so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life." How wonderful that was. Imagine what kind of faith that took for those people of Israel out there in that wilderness, dying from those snake bites. And Moses says, all you got to do is look up here at this serpent. Believe, and it will happen. In John's gospel, the height of Jesus' glory is as he hung on that cross. Later in the gospel, Jesus refers to his suffering and death in this way. He says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." Now, those are kind of strange words when you think about it. One would think that the gospel writer might refer to the resurrection the ascension, even to the last day as the high point, the center point of Jesus' glory. No. For John, that pinnacle of Jesus' glory is when he is lifted on that cross. The moment when God is most glorified, when Jesus is most glorified, is when he gives himself as that sacrifice for others. Jesus gave his life like that Passover lamb which was slain to save the lives of God's people. It's really quite a different way of thinking, isn't it? We usually don't think about someone who dies in this way. We think of them as having been a loser, not someone who is glorified. Glory and suffering, that's kind of different to our way of thinking, isn't it? We glory in power, in prestige, in wealth, success, fame. We love it. We strive for it. We yearn for it. Everybody likes that successful person. Everyone likes to be successful. But the Gospel of John states the true glory does not come from prestige, power, fame, or wealth, but from the supreme sacrifice for others. And nowhere does God's love burn more deeply. Nowhere does his light shine more brightly. Nowhere does God's grace come through more clearly than on the cross. Our epistle speaks about that grace of God also. Not say anything we've done, but purely what God has done for us, his grace. Freely the light of his forgiveness shines into our lives, and it brightens every corner, forgiving every sin, restoring our relationship with God, renewing our lives. Whoever follows Jesus, we're told, will not walk in darkness, and they will experience the joy and the peace of having sins forgiven, of developing new attitudes at work, at school, leisure, world, our bodies, new relationships with families and friends. But you know what? Too often we prefer to keep some of that dirt still in the dark. We pretend it's not there. Oh, we know it's there all right. But like that dirt under the refrigerator, we try to cover it up. We pretend everything is all right. We think that what no one can see won't hurt us. What's hidden in the dark won't matter. But it does matter to God, because God knows about those dark corners. He knows about our lives. And he wants us to stop hiding in the sin, or hiding our sin in the dark. He wants us to expose every dark corner to be the light of life. And he's giving us this light that not only shows the dirt in our lives, but it also cleans it away. He died so that we could be made new and clean. We are in the midst of this Lenten celebration, this Lenten season, a time of preparation, preparing for the passion of our Lord, a time to reflect on why our Lord had to go to such extremes to save us. And this is why. He wants to clean away that dirt that's hidden away in every corner of our life. I love how today's readings remind us that God has done something about this dirt. Paul in Ephesians says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, it is by grace you have been saved." Jesus died to get rid of that dirt, the dirt we accumulate in our lives once and for all. And so we thank God for this saving grace of our Savior. And just one final point. Jesus shines his light into our lives, yes. He fills us with love and forgiveness. He fills us with the joy, the knowledge of freedom from guilt for those things that upset us, to comfort us in times of sadness, to give us joy and healing as we experience that joy between one another. The light that shines in our lives ought to then bring a blessing to others as well. In other words, share that light. To to let that light of Christ shine through us into the dark corners of those lives of the people around us, the dark corners of the lives of the depressed sinner around us, or that dark corner of a person who is unhappy, the dark corner of fear and anxiety, the dark corner of that person who needs to hear the comforting words of our Savior. The light you give to that person can dispel this darkness from that person's life and bring both to you and to them perhaps a completely new outlook. Don't ever underestimate the light of Christ and what it can do through you. Jesus once said, "You are the light of the world. Your light must shine before people so that they can see the good things you do and bring praise to the Father." St. Peter reflects those words of Jesus when he says, "God has called you out of darkness into a marvelous light." I pray that you would live in that light and share that light each and every day of your life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.
Beat in me a clean heart and renew spirit within me. Cast me not away from and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Thy free spirit. Amen.
In our prayers this morning, we remember Pastor Scott and Judy, Larry, Mary and Alfred, Cynthia, Cassidy, her babies Rhea and Emerson, Alice, Adeline Wood, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Don and Donna, and Ron. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. O Lord, draw us into your light. Expose wherever we, like your people of old, have thought, spoken, and acted against you, that in repentance we might look to your Son, lifted up on the cross, and be saved from your righteous wrath. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of hosts, you gave your only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Bless the work of missionaries as they carry this gospel to the ends of the earth, that many may hear of your love in Christ Jesus and be saved through him. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have set Joe Biden, our president, and Greg Abbott, our governor, as authorities over us for good. Bless and sustain them with all they need to govern us, that we might be ruled wisely and in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you had Moses lift up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, thereby foreshadowing your own Son's lifting up on the cross. Teach us to hear in the Old Testament the promises and pictures of the coming Christ, who is their Savior and ours. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are our light, our salvation. Hide in your shelter Pastor Scott and Judy, Larry, Mary and Alfred, Cynthia, Cassidy, Rhea, Emerson, Alice, Adeline, Dean and Sue, Barbara, Scott, Don and Donna, and Ron, and all those we name in our hearts who suffer in body, mind, or soul. Keep them in their day of trouble from falling into faithless fear and uphold them with your peace in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you have made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Cause your Spirit to be at work in us, that we may not carry out the sinful desires of our bodies and minds, but be your workmanship in Christ Jesus, walking in the good works he has prepared for us. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray, O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace.